Hi, everyone. Daniel McCluskey here. Welcome to today's Unlocking Truth message, Victory in the Battle of Life. You know, we all know that in life we have opposition. Life, no matter how we live it, Christian or not, it is a battle. We just need to understand the battle better, I believe. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the Apostle Paul, and man, this guy had some major battles in life. So let's hear what he did to win in life's battles. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, in the Living Bible, it says this: "So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around." Now notice what Paul says. He says, "I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step." He says, "I fight to win." This is a winning mindset. Now remember, Paul is someone that's gone through hell on earth. I mean, he's been beaten, he's been stoned, he spends half his time in prison. I mean, this guy's gone through just so much. We hear his testimonies of being shipwrecked, and I mean, his life was filled with major battles. Compared to ours, oh my gosh. I mean, there is no comparison. So that's so awesome, and it's so important, because here we have Paul that's gone through all that he's gone through, and then we look at ourselves and we say, okay, these are battles. And I mean, they are intense in our lives as well, not as bad as his, but we're dealing with these battles. So if we can take what Paul is doing and put them to work in our lives, oh my goodness, that is victory. That is so much victory for us. So he says, listen, I'm fighting to win. I'm not playing around. I'm not shadow boxing. In verse 27, he says, "Like an athlete, I punish my body." In other words, he's just not living normal. He's saying, I'm pushing my body. I'm making it go beyond what is a normal way of life. He says, "I treat it roughly. I'm training it to do what it should, not what it wants to." Oh, that's big right there. He says, "Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race," in other words, going out and talking to other people about the following Jesus and living this type of life, entering in the race with him, he says, "Otherwise, when I'm enlisting others, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside." It's interesting what he says. He says, listen, if I don't do it correctly, I'm going to be disqualified from the race. I'm going to be disqualified. You know, you have to look at the historical background in this. First of all, Paul's using these terms that they would hear because of the Olympic Games. He's talking in a familiar language to them that is dealing with that type of athletic endeavor. And the Corinthians were very familiar with the Olympic Games. And Paul uses this metaphor to bring home an important message of winning in life. This is what's so awesome about the Word of God. God gives us this word not to confound us, not to confuse us, not to make it super spiritual or so difficult, but to make it simple. He's wanting us to win in life, but we're not going to win if we can't understand the truths that are necessary for us to win. And he knows us. He knows our lives. He knows what we've been through and all the difficulties in life and our training and culture and all kinds of things that have interfered with living a great life, correct life, a healthy, successful life, according to God's word. And here God is saying, listen, I'm going to give you this information to help you so you can win. And so Paul communicates to the Corinthian church, these Greeks, and he's giving them the message in a way where they can look at it, hear it, see it. participate in what he's saying. And this is how we succeed in the faith. We get God's word, we break it down in a simple way of understanding, a way that's relevant. Oh man, this is so important. So you look at this and you say, well, why is he saying I'll be disqualified? Well, it's important to note that only Greek citizens were allowed to participate in the games. They had to obey the rules both in their training and performing. So they had all these different rules that they had to abide by. And if you were found breaking any of the training rules, you are automatically disqualified. So again, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. He's talking to Greeks that understand these rules. They've been to Olympic Games. They see these athletes, you know, and doing what they do. And they've probably even seen these guys, you know, running around and practicing and training. And so Paul is saying, listen, I'm living this life with an athletic mindset. I have a purpose in every step in my life. I have purpose. And in this purpose, I'm fighting to win. I'm not going out today with a losing mindset. I'm fighting to win. I'm not just messing around. I'm not just shadow boxing and swinging my arms in the air. He's saying, listen, when I swing, I want it to hit something. So he says, I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Oh man, that is beautiful. I love Paul's letters. I love just the things that he teaches us through them. It transforms life. And Paul says, listen, I don't want to be disqualified from success in the race of life. Now, let me help you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. This is such an awesome scripture. But it's in relation to our walk right now, how we live our lives right now. Because you got to understand something. We're here on this earth, but we have a purpose. We have a destiny with God right now. Not in heaven, right now. And he's giving this information so that we're not going in life freaking out. He's telling us, listen, there's going to be pressures. There's going to be things coming against you. And this is what I want us to all understand. We have to look at life in a right way. We have to understand the battle better. So 2 Corinthians 4, 8 says this, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. Now hear that. We're pressed on every side. There's the pressures, but we're not crushed and broken. We're perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. And this is an amazing scripture because it's showing us that no matter how the pressure is pushing into us, we're not being crushed. This is what a believer must understand. The will of God, the word, and what it's showing us is that we'll have the pressure. And our focus should be the end result of what happens. We are not crushed. 2 Timothy 3:12 in the Message Bible says this, anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. I love that. That is beautiful. Not really enjoy that we're in for a lot of trouble, but hey, it's there. Anyone who wants to live all out for Jesus is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. Okay, so we know it's there. We know trouble's out there. We know pressures are out there. And, you know, even Jesus, he says this to his followers. Now, remember, that's us. In John 15, verse 20, 21, this Living Bible as well. He says, do you remember what I told you? A slave isn't greater than his master. So since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you. And if they'd listen to me, they would listen to you. The people of the world will persecute you because you belong to me, for they don't know God who sent me. Isn't that something? They persecuted me. Naturally, they will persecute you. Who did the persecuting? This is what's so amazing. It wasn't the evil people or the drug dealers or the gangsters or the people out there in the world just living life. It was the religious people. The people out there that see themselves so holy and so much better than everybody else. And they have this religious view and religious understanding of the Word of God. They don't know God's love. They don't know God's grace. They have this just this picture of religion, and they judge, and they like to point fingers, and they like to determine who's going to heaven and who's not, just based upon, you know, whatever they see in their lives. And it's just a disgusting way of life. And that's who attacked Jesus. That's who pressured Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, the greatest attacks in your life are going to be from Christians, religious people. And that's sad, but it's true. Now, in this battle called life, the problem is we have been battling without the right understanding. And the Lord shows us that the battle comes, but he also wants us to win. I mean, that's it. He wants us to win. We should live life with a winning attitude. Remember, Paul said, I fight to win. I fight to win. Romans 8:37, friend, says we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We are victorious. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is on our side. God is on our side, and we have to see this. Yeah. The pressures are going to come. The situations, circumstances in life are going to, they're going to flood on us. But we're not crushed. Why are we not crushed? Because we understand the battle. That's the key. We understand. The Apostle Paul had so much opposition in his life, but no matter the opposition, his confession was he fights to win. The Spirit of God's telling us to take this attitude. Let's run with this in everything we do. We've got to look at life correctly. And yeah, like I said, it's real. The problems and issues that we deal with are real. But God's word says there's a higher level of understanding, a higher level of truth that we've got to connect with. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. You give us the victory through Jesus. My goodness, that's a great confession of faith. That is awesome. Thank you, Father. You give us victory. You give me victory through Jesus. In 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5 says this, because everyone who has been born from God has won the victory over the world. Our faith is what wins the victory over the world. Who wins the victory over the world? Isn't it the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the key. We're going to have victory. We will have victory. We just have to see it correctly, see life correctly. Yeah, the mountain's big, the giant screams, but the truth of the matter is the mountain has to move and the giant will fall. That is God's word, and that is what belongs to us. It's our covenant right. It's his word. Are you seeing this? The negative's going to come. Pressures in life are going to happen. But we must fully understand that even though we have pressure on all sides, we're not crushed. Remember, we just read 2 Corinthians 4:8. We win. Listen, crushing takes place when the inside force is weaker than the outside force pressing against it. Think of it this way. You take a little small steel ball and, you know, like a little BB, set it on a table, and then with your finger, just press against it. And what happens is the flesh of your skin, the pressure, will surround that little steel ball, including the table. The pressure will be all around it. But the ball isn't going to be crushed. It won't be crushed. Why? Because the pressure is not greater than the steel. The pressure around the ball is not greater than what the steel exerts, its force. The word is showing us that our lives should be filled with still the knowledge of God's word. Come on now. This is awesome. We have this knowledge that actually becomes still against the pressures of this world. Can the BB, now if it had feelings, can the BB feel the pressure? Certainly it can. But the pressure cannot overtake it because the still is greater than the pressure. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have success because we have still the knowledge of God's word. When the pressures of life come against us, no matter who or what it is, we should never be crushed. The truth of God's word is in our hearts. It will empower us to have a greater force pushing out. I guess you could say this, we are men and women of steel. Isn't that Superman? Isn't he the man of steel? Well, hey, we're supermen and women for God. Praise Jesus. So what we see is we do have battles. And since we are fighting, we need to see the victory over defeat. This, my friend, is going to take courage. And this is the key. Courage is the key. Remember the instruction that God gave Joshua? Now, this is before he goes in the promised land. He's talking to Joshua. This is so vital for us because that promised land, the one that Moses was leading the children of Israel into, and he had to stop. That promised land is God's covenant promises for us as well. It's our promised land. And I don't want to stay in the wilderness. I don't want to live a life in the wilderness. I want to have what belongs to me, what God's word has promised to me. And in Joshua 1:1, it says this, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you'll be on land I have given you. It's already been given to them. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you, Joshua. I will not abandon you. And verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and have success in all you do. And then verse 9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, Joshua, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now look at that. God tells Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He says, don't have fear. Don't be discouraged. Now remember, he's going into the promised land that already belongs to him. Are you hearing this? He's going into the promised land that already belongs to him. But look at the battle. I mean, God is showing him something. He says, Joshua, you have the opportunity to be fearful. You have the opportunity to be discouraged. You have the opportunity to not be strong and not be courageous. The opportunity is there, but don't go that way. I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you go. And see, God's word is just that. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you, Daniel. I'm with you, friend that's listening. I'm with you. But know this, it's up to you to take my word. Believe me. Believe my word. Believe my promises. Don't deviate from them. Don't turn from the right or the left. And as long as you hold on to these promises and you meditate on them, keep them before you, you will be, not might, you will be successful in everything you do. Oh my goodness. You will. But fighting requires courage and a willingness to overcome fear. Listen, friend, fear is one of the most crippling emotions that can cause you to make bad decisions. Fear is so tricky, and it disguises itself in different ways, such as anxiousness or even anger. Overcoming fear is essential to having a successful vision in life. We must overcome fear. We must overcome fear so that we can know how to fight for the things that are important in our lives. We've got to fight to win, but we've got to win also this battle of fear. It'll steal courage from us. It'll make us weak. And again, remember God said, be strong, be courageous. And he's talking about something that already belongs to us. I've got to be strong and courageous in this life. I got to walk with Jesus knowing I'm going to have pressures, but I have to have a mindset that says, be strong, be courageous. We've got to remember that fear produces bad results. It's going to bring things into our lives that will cause destruction. The Bible makes it very clear that fear brings torment. I mean, it's a tormenting spirit. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love. Okay, that's the key. No fear in love. But perfect love, praise God, the perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Perfect love casts out fear. Why? Fear involves torment. God doesn't want us walking in torment. God doesn't want us walking a life filled with anxiety and defeatism. He wants us to be able to look straight on with purpose into life. And when these pressures come, when these battles hit, we in our minds understand the power of being strong and courageous. The power of knowing and understanding that Jesus said, I want you to win. I want victory for your life. The pressures will come, but my will, my desire is that you win. And to win, we must defeat fear in our lives. Let me give you three thoughts on fear. I believe this will help you. I know it's helped me quite a bit in my life. The first thing we want to look at is the ability to win in life. It lies in overcoming fear. Human greatness begins where fear ends. And you can learn to overcome fear by making decisions, to take action, and not let fear prevent you from doing things you want to do. We can't allow fear to rob us. Fear is going to rise up, especially when things are unknown, especially when things are new to us. Fear likes to rise its ugly head up, but we cannot allow it to take place. We see it. Okay, we can see the fear, but we cannot allow fear to take up residency in our heads. Amen? Just can't do it. So we can't allow fear to do what it wants to do, and that brings destruction. We've got to take action. And fear has physical feelings. I mean, you've experienced as well as I have. You get fear and all of a sudden your stomach and your body and all kinds of different things start attacking. And you feel them starting. You can feel, like the lump in the throat, the turning of the stomach, Just you can feel it. But even though you feel fear, it won't immobilize you or motivate you to act in ways contrary to your goals, because you're not going to act on it. You might feel it, but you're not going to act on it. That's the key. Don't assume just because you're feeling fear that you've lost. That's a lie of the enemy. That's not true. You have to understand the temptations, the things come, but that doesn't mean you've succumbed to them. They come. The thoughts come. The situation, circumstances, they come. But we're going to win because we're not going to act on fear. We're not going to act on these things. The second thing is we got to face our fears. We don't deny them. Denial gives fear power, and it's going to push into your life even stronger. We cannot mask our emotions. And you know what? Just dealing with people over the years, I've seen people and how they deal with fear, especially the way doctors are nowadays. I mean, they want to prescribe all kinds of drugs. And you can't mask your emotions with drugs. I mean, legal or not. People do the same with alcohol. Overworking. Oversleeping. I mean, all kinds of destructive measures that they try to fill the place so they don't experience fear. And we've got to recognize these things. We got to recognize when fear is around, and we've got to confess it. We've got to speak that thing out and say, "Hey, I see you, fear. I'm not masking you. And I'm telling you, you're not going to control my life. I have victory over you." And that's what the word shows me. Listen, if you have to, talk to a friend, talk to your spouse, a husband, wife, someone, a pastor, a leader, a life group leader, someone, have them help you in your stance of faith. I mean, the Bible shows us the power of two or three in agreement. And if you can go to someone and say, "Listen, I've been dealing with this area of fear," and have them, I mean, this is what the body of Christ is supposed to be about. We stand together, and we're not in this fight alone. And even God himself says, "I am with you, Joshua. I am with you, Daniel. I am with you. I am with you." So let's recognize that. And once you face your fears and you come up with, you're going to start coming up with all kinds of ideas of overcoming them. But we also need to take the step to win. And to do that, you know, we look at it and say, what is causing this? What is opening the door for this fear to enter in? And once you start seeing it, and once you start recognizing it, then it's time to take action. We need to do this with a plan, you know. We've got to say, "Hey, I need to be cautious or careful of what I'm doing." I remember years ago talking to this young person that was scared constantly. I mean, they were scared going in their room. They were scared walking in the house. They're scared. They're fearful all the time. And as I was talking with this person, I was asking him about, what do you do in life? I mean, what do you like to watch? What do you like to listen to? And you know what? I couldn't believe this. They love to listen to and watch scary movies. And they were talking about the one that they just recently saw. And I mean, it just filled with, you know, scaring people. And I asked them, "Is this a one-time thing, or is this what you like to do?" And they said, they love it. They love watching these things. And I said, "There's your problem. And if you want to get rid of this fear, you got to get rid of that garbage. Quit allowing that stuff into your life. I mean, it's not going to help you." And here they were walking a life filled with fear, and it was building anxiety and stress. And I'm talking about a teenager. I mean, come on. That you know, $5 for that movie is not worth your life. I mean, come on. We got to get smarter than this. So we got to face our fears. Next thing is, we have to know the Father wants us free. He wants us free. Romans 8:15 tells us that we should no longer live in the bondage to fear. Why? Because we have our dad. We have our father to run to. So let's run to the Father. He's going to help us overcome any fear in our life. I mean, he said that. He did not give us fear. So we don't need to take it. It's not a gift from God. This is something that he's handing to you. So as far as I'm concerned, it don't belong to me. Listen, fear will give you a losing mentality. And if you expect to lose, you're probably going to lose. We're going to win in life. We're not going to accept fear. We're going to walk in strength and courage because this is the will of the Father. This is the will of God for us. Make it your goal to speak confidently about your life from this point on. Make it your goal to speak confidently over your marriage, over your family, over your business, over your work. Speak confidently over your skills. Listen, we can acknowledge fear, but we can't dwell on it or live as though the thing that I fear the most is about to happen. We can't do that. Instead, we got to act as though we're confident in every situation. And when we do that, we're going to find courage. And when we're in the life of focused in on courage, we're going to become builders and we're going to fight and take life to a higher level. Listen, friend, I truly, truly want to see the success that Jesus himself has given us in all our lives. Let us run the race of life with confidence from this point on. Let's all expect to win. Hey, you're more than a conqueror, and there's no fear but courage here, right? So let's believe that. Remember Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. This is the will of the Father. This is God's word speaking to you and me. Hey, it's our time to start winning. Amen? And I expect that is your life. And I believe you're going to walk in it. Man, have a great, great day. I love you. See you. Bye.